Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Chatting with Sherry. This week we have author T.E. Ridner, and she's going to talk about her book, The Truth About Kattenberg. Welcome, Tanya.
Hey, Sherry.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Thank you, thank you. I'm glad to be here. How are you?
I'm fine. It's a beautiful day. I hope it is there, too.
Yeah, it's almost 70 degrees, but we've got a few thunderstorms rolling through, so it's not too bad.
Sorry.
That's okay.
That's good. I mean, well, not that you have thunderstorms, but tell the audience a bit about yourself and your background.
Okay, well, hi. My name's Tanya. I go by T.E. Ridner. I'm 28 years old, and I live in a very small town in Kentucky. I've been writing since I was probably about 10 or 11, pretty much as far back as I can remember. I've been telling stories, and so that kind of just followed me through to adulthood, and now that's what I like to do with my time.
When you were a kid, did you like to, put on plays and stuff like that, or were you one of those kids that were in the corner scribbling in your notebook?
You know, I was a little bit of both, actually. Most of the time when I was home, I was always nose deep in either a book or writing something. But at school, I did have a tendency to participate in any kind of skits or plays that we had. I loved it all. I tried everything.
It's fun to do that because you're behind a mask. So you're not you. You're the character. So if you're shy, it's a lot more... Well, it's a lot easier. I guess that's what I'm looking for.
Absolutely. You can always, when you get to be somebody else, you tend to act a little differently anyway. It's a little more liberating, I think.
Oh, I agree. Are you a big reader? Does any specific book ignite your imagination? Or who's your favorite author?
Well, my favorite author is Stephen King. When I was about 11 or 12, my second cousin, gave me his copy of It, and I read that thing probably 10 times. He let me keep it for 2 months, and I just read it over and over and over. And then he gave me the movie to watch, and I was like, wait a minute, something's not right here. And that's when I realized, you know, that they really take a lot out of books when they make them into movies. But, yeah, I'm a very big reader. I don't get to do it as much now because I'm always writing. But
yeah,
when I was little, I was always reading. I mean, loved it, absolutely. Got grounded once for reading too much.
Yeah, I used to get told off by that, too. Not by my family. My dad was a big reader, so I always was a big reader. I mean, he inspired us. Our whole family are readers. So, but in school, I would sometimes, like, hide away and either be scribbling or reading.
Oh, yeah, I can feel you. I can relate to that.
Do you have a love of history, and does that have any part in creating your stories?
I do like history. You know, excuse me, when I was in school, I was always really big on Egypt and, you know, like, the pharaohs and mummies and all that great stuff. I was so obsessed with it more than anything else. And, you know, I also like to read about the Civil War. But as far as history goes in my books, there is mention of the Civil War in the Kattenberg series. Anybody that's read the first book, there's a little bit about how the Ursothropes came to be, which are the bear shifters. But any other history really would be in my vampire series because there's a lot about Lilith, who was the first woman. She was supposed to be Adam's wife. And so I have done a huge amount of research on her. And then, you know, everything else, there's like, it's more current, up to date. But as far as history goes, yeah, that's my main thing is Lilith. I'm always researching Lilith for some reason.
That's interesting that you're drawn to Lilith. I thought the Lilith, you know, that was something that was created by the old rabbis because when they put the Bible together, it's bits and pieces. I mean, the whole Bible's like that. And in one part of the first book of Genesis, it it says he was married, and then in another part he says, well, God created a wife, and they're like, well, what happened to the first wife? So they created that to fill it, and then it became like the most fascinating thing to Jewish scholars and then to Christian scholars and then to everybody. And now there's
Yeah. Examples
of it.
Yeah. But it's really funny, though, because it was like 9 years ago my sister-in-law saw a documentary on Lilith, and she knew that I was trying to start a vampire series, and she's like, you really need to look into this. She's like, I think that it might be something. And so I did, because I had never heard of her before then, you know. And so the deeper I got, the more I was like, man, I really need to put this in my story, because there's still a lot of people I don't know about her. And
yeah.
I've had people message me, and they're like, is this for real? And I was like, well, you never know. You just never know.
I love the idea. Well, I mean, one of the theories is that she's a demon and she goes around killing little babies. I mean, then there's another one that she was the misunderstood wife that got to wouldn't do what the husband wanted, and that's where the festival comes from. There's a lot of theories on Lilith, so there's a lot of good material for you.
Absolutely. And, you know, I've come across one other book where she talks about Lilith, and I actually was talking to that author already, and I was like, you know, we're soul sisters. I was like, I've never met anybody else that put Lilith in their book before. I was like, so that means we have to be best friends now. And we do. We still talk today, and I just thought that was amazing. I don't know. But if I meet somebody that, you know, if you feel like a hipster, which, you know, I hate that, but you feel like a hipster, and then you find out somebody else knows that thing you've been trying to keep a secret, but then you're like, well, we've got a bond over that.
Yeah, absolutely. I also happen to have a passion for Egypt, so that actually has a big part of one of my stories that I'm books that I'm working on right now. I think ancient Egypt is so fascinating, and one of my big worries is that all the turbulence that's going on in Egypt, I hope they're protecting the museum, because they already tried to attack it once.
Yeah.
You're a big fan of that period?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I remember when The Mummy came out. That's been years and years and years ago, but I remember, and I had to go see it. I just, oh, my goodness, I was so excited. I was like, please, please, Daddy, give me $7 so I can go to the movies. And I remember just sitting there practically drooling on myself because, you know, I love everything about Egypt, even the mummification process. I know that makes me weird, but I was always just so obsessed with all of it. And if I could ever go to Egypt, you know, I don't know that I would go in the pyramids because I'm a little claustrophobic, but, you know, it's still, that's so great, you know, everything that they did back then. I just, oh, I love it.
That's cool. That's really cool. When you're going through your period to write, how do you find the time to actually, when you have to really concentrate, your family, your friends, how do you tell them, this is my time to write? I mean, do you make deals? How do you work that out?
Well, you know, for me, I've been pretty fortunate because I'm single. I don't have any kids. So basically, the world is mine for the taking. And, you know, if I need to sit down and write, I'm just like, hey, this is me. Look, I'm on my computer. You see this. Just leave me alone. Which, of course, my niece and nephew don't always listen. So there's sometimes that I'm really trying to get into it, but they're right there. So sometimes I have to wait till they go to bed, or I've already sent them off to school. Because I live with my brother and his wife. My brother has a bad heart, and he'll eventually need a heart transplant. My sister-in-law has seizures, so I've been staying with them, you know, to help look after the kids. And I think it's a pretty sweet deal because I get to focus on doing what I love, you know, and I get to help them out, get to spend more time with the kids. And honestly, I don't think that there's a better setup than that. But,
yeah.
You know, I usually just
wait
till they
go to school. I'm sure they're grateful to you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I wouldn't trade it for anything. I would not, because, you know, there's a lot of people out there that they don't get to even right at all, and I think I would probably go insane, honestly. But yeah, it's not too hard. Usually I'm just like, you see me, I'm sitting here, go away. And, you know, they're okay with it. And my friends, they could go months without hearing from me. And they know what I'm doing, obviously. if they didn't know that I was a writer, they'd probably worry, but they usually know that I'll come back next month after another book's written.
Well, I understand that. Would you like to give the audience a bit of a taste of what your book is about and what you'd like the readers to take away from it?
Okay, let's see here. You know, I thought about this, and I'm never really good at trying to throw it out there. I would be a terrible salesman. But, you know, the truth about Cadenburg is about bear shifters that live in a small town in Tennessee, you know, which is maybe 30 minutes away from me, Tennessee is. So it's something really familiar for me, and anybody that was raised in a small town will definitely be able to relate to it. And it's about this girl named Presley, and she comes back home to Tennessee after she has a bad breakup with her jerky boyfriend, which is, again, relatable for a lot of people. And she runs into her old childhood best friend, Lorcan. And Lorcan, you just have to understand, when I wrote him, he was like the epitome of hotness in every form. Like, he's so beautiful that it makes me want to cry. But so Lorcan wants her to be his mate, but he's not allowed to say anything. He has to wait for her to acknowledge that connection. And so that's a little tormentive, but basically it gets down to that there's werewolves, and the werewolves want to take over the town, and they do not get along with the bear shifters, and so there's like this big war that's brewing. And in the whole process of this, she's trying to learn about who she really is, and she spent her whole life thinking that she's normal, but she's really not. And so she's got to get a grip on it really fast because the werewolves are coming in. And it's a lot of excitement. There's romance. There's humor. And there is two more books on it so far, so I think it's a pretty good thing.
That sounds like it. And what would you like the audience to take away from it?
Well, you know, like with most of my books, it's fiction, but there's a lot of fact to it, and I like that people can walk away knowing that they could relate to it. And with Presley, you know, there's a lot that some people will read, and they're just going to feel that connection. And they're going to be like, man, you know, something like that happened to me. And I want them to walk away with an adventure that they got to go on, that they got to travel through it with Presley. And I want them to go away with that bit of magic, you know, that even though it's fiction, there's a lot of fact to it. And I want people to always believe in the magic. And I know that's a little far-fetched, but I really love for the audience to walk away thinking, you know, what if people really could turn into bears?
Well, I don't know. I mean, when I grew up, I had, still do, have a really wild imagination. And I used to watch the reruns of Bewitched. And as I walked home from school, I, like, pretended that I was, like, twitching myself home
and
fly. And, I mean, that's part of being, having an imagination. I think that's a great thing. I mean, that leads to being anything creative, an actor, a writer, an artist, ballet dancer, anything like that. So I think it's beautiful.
Well, thank you. I have to agree with you there. If I didn't have my imagination, I think my life would be incredibly boring. I would probably be really boring.
I think all of us would be without our imagination.
Yeah.
When you got your very first hard copy of one of your books, how did you feel? What was your sense of satisfaction?
Oh, my goodness, I was over the moon. I remember getting the box out of the mail, and I tore it open, and I looked at it, and I turned it around, and then I looked at it again. I looked at my name on it, and I was just, you know, I was thinking, what about all those people that told me I would never do this? And, you know, especially my guidance counselor in high school, she told me I wasn't smart enough for anything. And so, you
oh
know, I'm
God.
Told, She did. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my family was so mad at her for forever. But I remember holding it, and I was so proud of myself, and I took it into the house, and I showed my dad. And, of course, you know, he's 6'9", but he's such a big teddy bear, and he just starts crying, and he's like, oh, my baby. So he had to take a picture with it, and then I had to take a picture with it. And, you know, I was just so proud. You know, it's like that's all I ever wanted to do. And then for it to be in my hands, that was just amazing. There's no words to describe that, you know. It was just the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
And so it's still sitting here. I'm actually looking at it right now.
When I got my first book, it's the same thing. Pictures with book, with me, my mom, my brother.
It's basically like bringing home a new baby.
Yeah. And, I mean, my dad was the biggest publicity. He took, like, he made flyers and started handing it out to everybody in the office.
Oh, wow. That's great.
It's like you said, it's like a new baby. You've given birth, and now you're showing the baby off to everybody.
Yep, that's right. And that's what I tell everybody, you know, because, like, all my friends from high school, they're always posting pictures of their kids and new babies they're bringing home, and I'm just like, I made a new character, you know. and that's what I tell people, you know, my books, they are my children, and I'm just as proud of them.
I agree with that, absolutely. Kids are our children, yeah, absolutely. When you... what was the reaction to your friends and family when you published your first book? I mean, did everybody read it? Did you get, I know everybody probably supported you, but did everybody love it?
Well, I've never heard anything negative about it. A few of my aunts have read them. I had some friends that lived pretty far away that got them. I had one that called and... This is what I tell everybody is I get this phone call, and she's so mad at me because I published two books around the same time. And she got to the end, and she absolutely hated me. She was mad at me for, like, 2 months.
Wow.
Yeah, but it's so funny. So now when people message me, they're like, oh, I'm getting ready to start this book. And I'm like, no, please don't. You're going to hate me. But then I laugh about it because they eventually get over it and then we're friends again. But, you know, I've had a few family members that have read them. My sister-in-law, she's read practically every single one. And she's actually, I've got a copy of The Truth of Cadenberg here. And she's taken it to the beach with her. So she's not read that one yet. And it's really hard for me because, you know, I get stuck on book three and I'm like, what should happen here? She's like, well, I haven't even read the first one, so what do you want me to do? I'm like, please. Oh, yeah. It's just every day in the life here. People are used to it. Yesterday, my brother was trying to get ready for work and I stopped him and I was like, what was it I said? I was like, do you cock a shotgun or something like that? And he just stares at me. And he thinks I'm such a weirdo.
He loves you anyway.
Yeah, and he's helped me so much. You know, anybody that reads Cadenberg, a lot of the geographical stuff, you know, I sucked at it in school. So I'm like, hey, can you tell me where such and such place should be? And he's like, yeah. And then I was like, what would happen if the brakes go out in your car? What would you do? And so he's going through this process trying to tell me. And the whole time I'm just like, yeah, I know you're judging me. I can see it.
Well, I mean, that's an obligation of the family member to help you do research.
Exactly. And, you know, he's a volunteer firefighter and he does search and rescue. So he knows all this stuff. He just has to tell me.
Yeah. Absolutely, and that's a great source.
Yeah.
What do you think of the different styles of publishing?
Well, you know, like I really like indie publishing because I get to be my own boss and there's no deadline because I cave under pressure something awful. But, you know, with the traditional route, I think that that's pretty awesome too, and I would never say no to it. you know, because, like, as an indie, everything comes out of our pocket. And, you know, with the publishing house, you know, they help you out a little bit at least. And I don't think that a lot of people realize that about indies either, is that we pay for everything.
Yep.
And, you know, getting that first royalty check, it was just like, oh, my goodness. Thank you.
Thank you. At least I got something from it.
Yeah, you know, and it's not that I even do it for the money. I just love to share world with people. But, you know, to get that first bit, it's just like, wow, you know, people think that what I do is worth it, and they're willing to pay for it, and it doesn't get any better than that. It really doesn't. And you know, so, but yeah, I mean, Indian traditional, if there's another way that I'm forgetting, I apologize. I wouldn't mind.
Small houses, too.
Yeah, the small houses. Yeah, I've met a few people that have been through small houses, and I don't know. I mean, if somebody liked my work enough that they wanted to pick me up, I wouldn't say no to them. But I do enjoy the freedoms of being an indie. I'm very proud of it. I think that we have an awesome community.
Yep, I agree. Can you tell the audience what you're working on now, or is it top secret?
I would have to kill you. No, I'm kidding. Actually, my brain... I can never just work on one thing at once, and that's absolutely insane, and it will probably drive me crazy one day. But I'm bouncing back and forth between Vic 3.5 of the Cadenberg Shifters, Vic 3 of my vampires, Vic 3 of my elementals, and I'm almost finished with a novel about guardian angels and a girl that is right in the middle of all of it, and the world could end if she doesn't make the right choice. So, yeah, that's what I'm working on.
I understand that because I do the same thing. I'm working on, like, four books, actually, at the same time. Are you at different places in each book?
Yes, yeah,
different
absolutely.
Levels?
You know, yeah, like, I'm in Tennessee with a Christmas theme right now with my bears. And then I'm in the middle of another war on planet Saturn with my elementals. And I don't even remember where I'm at with my vampires right now, but I'm sure it's equally difficult. But, yeah, and, you know, it's like I try to tell people because they need to understand how my brain works. But if I get stuck on one thing, I take comfort in knowing that I can bounce to another thing to get myself out of it.
Exactly. Exactly. That's how I feel.
I'm so glad
that's
you
way,
get
that's
that.
The way I work too. Yes.
Yeah.
You're one of the few people who understand that because not that many people work that way. So, hey, sister.
And, you know, it's like people are like, you're working on too many things at once. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I was like, if I was only working on one thing, I would go insane. I cannot do it.
Yeah.
That's just how I do.
It's very hard to explain to people, and they go, "What are you working on?" Well, let's see. I'm working on a play. I'm working on four books. I'm working on short stories. I'm like, how are you doing all that once?
Because our brains are just special.
Because we're just bored, and you have to keep going. But you also have obligations too. So you have other things. You know,
you just toss it all in the blender. Just toss it all in there.
It.
Turn it on. It'll be okay.
Yeah, and make a nice smoothie.
Exactly. Just don't forget the cherries.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. There's not many other writers who do that. I mean, it's funny because people say, how do you even know what's going on in the different thing? I go, because I wrote it.
Exactly, and you just have amazing separation skills. That's all there is to it. They're like, how do you keep up with all these characters? And I was like, well, they each have their own little room in there, and when they're ready to talk, they come out.
That's the other thing, is that sometimes you have to wait for characters to tell you what you want to do with your plot line.
Exactly, or else you just don't want to do it. If I get to the point where I have to force myself to do it, I won't do it at all.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like my friends say, you know, I have to listen to the voice that's the loudest, and that's what I do.
Yeah, and I mean, I one of the things I love about Agatha Christie is that she made fun of that. Because she talks about that in her autobiography, and then in her book, she actually makes fun of the fact that characters are real to a writer. She actually had one of the suspects in Death in the Clouds. His character, he was trying to explain to Inspector Japp that this character just wouldn't do it. And you can't have a murder mystery if the detective won't do something. And they're like, he's nuts.
But I can relate so well to that. You know, it's like people are like, well, this is what should happen in your book. And I was like, well, why don't we wait and let them decide what's going to happen?
Exactly.
I can't. I have to just... The calling now is if you don't believe it online at all, you just go with the flow. And, like, half the stuff that happens in my books, I'm just as surprised about it as anybody else because I never know what they're going to do.
Yeah, and also, one of the books I'm writing is a murder mystery, and I've written a lot of short stories like that. And someone says, well, who done it? I go, I have no idea. I haven't gotten to that part yet. All right, now I'm just building up the characters and the situations. I have no idea who's going to do it.
Yep. I never know how anything's going to end. I just go with it, and I see what happens.
Yep, because and one of the joys of being a writer is if you don't like something, you can go and get rid of it and redo it.
Exactly.
So you don't have to worry about it.
Yep. I'm so glad that you relate with me on this because a lot of people
just
go crazy.
No, I completely. That's my process, so I completely understand. I don't hear many writers say that, so it's really cool that you do that.
Awesome. Yay. I'm so glad. Oh.
Do you have any events that are coming up? We don't have a lot of time, so just want to make sure we get it out there. If you have any signings or conventions or anything that you're going to, book fairs.
I don't. I'm such a, you know, I'm a introverted person. I mean, I would love to eventually. I do plan to have a book signing, but it's probably still a few months away. But, you know, otherwise I'm always doing events on Facebook. You can find me on there. I'm the nerdy computer girl.
Well, that's considered an event. If you have an event that's coming up on Facebook, please let them know. I will have it on my blog and on my website to let people know. Do you have an event that's coming up on Facebook?
Oh, well, next month will be the release of my Guardian Angel book. It's called Guarding Abigail, and I'm releasing it on May 25th, and I'll probably be having a release party, so that would be awesome. Everybody's welcome to come to it.
Okay, and your Facebook page will be on my blog, so everybody look at that so you can find out when her release party is.
Absolutely.
Well, it's been a wonderful interview. Thank you very much. I told you it would go fast, Tanya.
Yeah, I've had a great time. Thank you so much. Normally, I'm just like, I stammer a lot, and I'm giggly, which I know I was giggly, but I couldn't help it. But I really did have a great time, and thank you so much for letting me be here with you.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I really enjoyed it, too. You're a lovely lady, and we had a great interview. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being so awesome.
Thank you. I want to let my audience know next week we're going to welcome author Robin Alexander. She's going to talk about her book, Matter of Choice. I'd like my live audience to thank Tanya for a great interview. Thank you, Tanya.
Thank you, Sherry.
And thank you for chatting with Sherry.